Live from the Pathway Studios in Johnston proper, you are Live from the Path.
I am a working man. I get things done. We're for the Holy Ghost.
And you're listening to Live from the Path. We're coming from the Pathway Studios in Johnston proper. It's good to be with you on this morning night.
It's beautiful.
Hey, I lined up like 3 or 4 articles for the show, and then I've lost them.
That's not good.
I know, right? I actually sat at home. I spent a good 20 minutes or so.
Wait, you did show prep?
I did. I was ready to rock. And now I don't remember what the articles were.
Holy cats, I feel like I'm underprepared.
That's why I don't do show prep. I'll just lose it.
Right? Normally, we just don't prepare for the show, and then we're all in the same boat.
And we're never disappointed.
No, fair enough.
That's true. When you don't have a lot of people listen to the program, it's not likely to disappoint you. Okay, well, hold on. I know where I got them from. So I got a couple of them. So one of them was, we'll do some advice on Dear Life from the Path. Boovy, you got that?
I got that.
All right, thanks, buddy. There was one from Relevant Magazine on the most ignored commandment. It's one of the Bible's most well-known commandments. Ooh. So why aren't we following it? Any guesses?
Ooh.
Let's see.
Don't murder.
Honor your mother and father.
I was going to say mother and father. Yeah.
It's the Sabbath.
Sabbath.
Yeah, it's the Sabbath one, which is interesting because it's something that there's been part of a group of pastors that was talking about the same thing, and frankly, it didn't look like anybody had any answers to this. We actually were not doing it, and no one had any good feedback on the right reaction to it. So I'm kind of interested, and we'll talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, we applaud people who don't follow it.
Yeah, that's true.
We raised that up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. So we'll go through that one. There was another article about eight things healthy couples don't do. It was stupid. Because they're hold on, I'll read it.
Right. Well, I'm glad you came to that conclusion for us, so we don't have to read it.
It's the cover story on the magazine. They're dumb. Don't post negatively about each other on social media. Is this a deal? Where people are like, maybe this is okay?
I see it all the time. It drives me bonkers.
Really? Well, here's the thing. I get that people are acting this way, mm-hmm. okay, and that you shouldn't do that. But I can't imagine if couples were given a, I don't know, a quiz. Let's say it's a quiz, a relationship quiz.
Great.
And we say, hey, is it okay to post negative things about your significant other on the Facebook? Is that just a thing where people are like, sure, so it doesn't seem like a problem?
I would say most people wouldn't necessarily just jump to a yes, but I'm sure there are many people who would try and justify it.
Yeah. Except for this. Except for my spouse when they
do exactly.
that.
No one would outright just go, yes, it's perfectly fine to throw your dirty laundry out in the middle of the road.
Okay, hold on. Let's keep on this track then. Would someone, Boovit, is it your understanding that people would say it's okay to make your career a priority over your relationship?
I think there's plenty of people who would agree with that, yes. They would say, as long as I'm taking care of my family or my husband or wife, me spending 80 hours a week at work is perfectly fine. They have food on the table, they have a roof over their head, and they have clothes in their body.
All right, so what's the mistake there? What makes them not right about that?
You providing for your family is much more than just monetary. There are so many more facets to what you have to offer to a relationship and to a family other than just money. If you can get by on 40 hours of work a week and a $12 an hour job, and your family still has clothes and stuff like that, but you get to spend time with them and can actually help to have a relationship with your wife or husband, and then to actually be able there to father or mother your children, I guarantee that is better for the family than it would be if you guys had $300,000 a year.
You know, my children are both in the adult range now. One's 19 and the other's 26. Never have I heard one of them say, man, you remember that shirt you bought me in third grade? I just want to thank you for that.
Hey, that pencil was sweet, Dad.
That name brand pair of pants I really wanted, that made my life. No. Yeah.
So I agree with that, but I guess maybe I'm wrong about this thing. I looked at it and I said, this is stupid, because I thought, why would someone believe this?
This is stupid as someone who has a good relationship, and someone, or at least someone who understands what a good relationship looks like.
Well, but to your point, if I'm the guy with the bad relationship, I would read number two and be like, yeah, no, this seems fine.
I love my family.
Certain people would definitely, I think more people would just blatantly say yes to two than one, but I'm certain there would be quite a bit of justifying when it comes to number two and number one.
It's shocking how many guys I know firmly believe they are loving their family by not being there, but by providing a nice car and a nice home and the cool clothes and good comfortable lifestyle.
My family wants for nothing except for my attention
except for me.
And me.
Yeah.
They don't know me. Yeah. And when I'm around, I'm really angry because I'm stressed out from work, so they don't like me.
Right.
But
I haven't seen my kids in 3 weeks, but we don't need a budget because I make plenty of money.
Yeah, yeah. I suppose, like, in comparison, really what you're saying is as dad of the year, I want my kids to be raised by this pair of pants and the sweet ride that I bought. Yep.
Number three was eight things healthy couples don't do, have all their together time with technology.
Pokemon Go?
Here, hey, you know what? I went on a walk today over lunchtime. And I go by that sculpture park.
Oh, yeah.
And
the place was rolling with Pokemon Go, folks. And you know what I saw? I saw a bunch of people out and about.
Yeah.
I saw multi-generational groups going around looking for stuff. I saw dads and kids, moms and kids. And I thought, heck yeah. This is awesome.
I actually did that with my daughter tonight.
All right.
We were sitting there watching TV. I said, hey, let's just go out for a walk and see if there's any Pokemon out there. They're not called Pokemon. Oh.
Multi-generational.
Those pokey things.
What, did you catch any, Dan?
Yes, actually, we both did.
Dan, next time, call them pocket monsters.
Pocket monsters?
It'll be great. Pocket monsters.
Yes, yeah.
Booba's setting you up somehow. You're going to end up having...
It's originally what they were called.
But I feel like it's some
Pokemon
kind of,
is pocket monsters.
It's code word, Dan. You're going to get jumped by a bunch of Italians.
Oh, no.
You will get jumped by a bunch of Italians.
However, back to the article, I do believe this kind of maybe is the exception to the rule. Otherwise, you're usually all sitting there looking at your own technology and not interacting. That, you kind of interact together.
Yeah, that's true.
That's why it's so successful right now.
Healthy couples don't check Twitter on dinner dates. Okay.
Yeah, I mean,
I agree with that.
Yeah.
I do it, but I agree with it.
Yeah, put your phone in your pocket and pay attention to that person.
Yeah.
Yeah, because if you're text messaging that person, I'd say that was half acceptable. Hey. But it would be much better to just have a human conversation with them.
Hey, babe, meeting with someone right now, pretty lame.
Can you rat out your spouse while out with them?
Send a Snapchat of them to them.
That's breaking two rules.
Number four was avoid hard subjects. Relationships are about intimacy. If you can't talk about the hard subjects, then your intimacy factor is off.
For a second, I thought they were saying pro avoid hard subjects.
No. Couples don't avoid hard subjects.
Never talk about anything besides dinner and what movie you want to see next.
Cotton candy flavors.
That's true. That's not healthy.
I would say that as a society, we are very bad about this. I think that unless we're on social media and we can talk to 50,000 people at a time and make a really snarky post. Like, if we're face-to-face, people are very difficult with having hard conversations that have a lot of depth to them and things like that. On a majority, I'm certain there's plenty of people that are fine at it. But I would say that this definitely would leak into modern relationships, depending on the people. So I'm certain it's probably a bigger issue than we see.
It is easier to avoid, yeah, definitely. Yeah. I mean, you have to intentionally engage in a hard conversation.
I know people that are 2 years into their relationships that are on their way to marriage within the next couple of months and are having serious difficulties because they had to set a budget.
Oh, right.
They had to set a budget for their relationship because they're saving for their wedding.
Mm-hmm.
And it has come to scream fights because one person says, hey, we set this budget, we agreed on it, and everything like that. And now you want to go out to dinner again. We went out to dinner last night. We cannot afford it. And then that person went out to dinner anyway. And it's just, it's ridiculous. It's like you're close to marriage. You've been engaged and are close to marriage, and you're fighting about whether or not you can go out to dinner.
Hey, that's people who've been married 25
yeah,
years.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that's a pretty standard fight.
Yeah.
And that's fair. But like when it's a chronic thing that's happened consistently because they've never had that conversation. If you're 25 years into a marriage and have never had a budget conversation, I have absolutely no idea how you've done this unless you're making millions of dollars and have an accountant.
No, yeah, the healthy way to handle that is to know who's the loosey-goosey and who's the hardliner.
And you have to be honest with yourself about that. If you're the one who's going to go spend a bunch of money, keep your money with the person who's not going to.
Yeah.
Here's what's funny about that. Okay, I'm the loosey-goosey in our family.
Uh-huh.
However, a few years ago, we went through the Dave Ramsey, like the first time, and did the classes. And I'm like, yeah, okay, we need a budget, and we're going to get all serious. And my wife was the one saying, I don't want to be constrained by some stupid budget.
Nice.
And she's not like the heavy spender.
That's right.
That's because the construct appealed to you because you'd never had that. She just lives that way.
Yeah.
And
so
she's just like, I don't need that deal.
No, she has personal boundaries. I don't.
Right.
Hey, that's shiny.
Yeah. It's called self-control, Dan. That's all you need.
Crap.
No, yeah, when my wife knows that we shouldn't go out to eat or something, you should ask me, because I'm mostly likely the guy to say yes. And I know when I want to go and we really shouldn't, I say, hey, Amanda, should we go out to eat? And then she'll say, no, we really shouldn't. I'm like, oh, yeah, you're right. But like, whoever's the first to answer really, really runs the table. So, let's see, 8 things healthy couples don't do, punish one another. Punishing one another often comes out in the silent treatment or withholding sex or affection. Healthy couples know when it's good to take a break from a disagreement, but also know how to come back together and find a resolution. All right, so here's the deal. I actually really struggle with this, not intentionally, though, is sometimes when my wife and I have had some sort of argument, like, I really just don't feel like talking.
Right.
And I'm generally not upset. I'm generally not angry. But, like, I have to process stuff. Generally, I'm wrong. And so, like, it takes me a bit of time.
I'm so proud of you.
And I even know this, right? So I'm like, I know that I'm incorrect here, but I'm my mind is resolved to it, but the rest of myself is not resolved to the fact that I'm in error. And so I just need a little bit of hours, where there's just no one asking me questions and I can kind of, usually if I can go to sleep, that's good. But, like, it's very difficult because my wife wants a resolution. My wife wants to be able to talk something out and be able to affirm something. And, like, even if I can agree to something, it feels like I'm just giving up, which isn't fair to her. But, like, I'm conceding, and I agree to it. I just don't feel that way. And so it takes time, and it ends up being silence. And it's, I'm working on that because, like, that's on me. That's not her fault. But it also isn't a, hey, I'm trying to punish you by not talking to you. It's just that, like, I really don't want to talk about it. I'm still working
still
on
processing
it.
Processing things, yeah. Yeah, I try to hold sex away, and she didn't care. So, that didn't work a bit. I'll show you.
Sorry, I need to find a new
person. All right, keep that going, buddy.
That's the bummer.
Reverse punishment.
That's terrible.
What's awkward is when you have to finally concede. Okay.
All right, you really want it. But it's under protest.
That's right.
Oh, jeez.
I wore this shirt to kind of get out of this funk here, and I'm glad they straightened it out.
I'm glad no one really listens to this show.
6, here we go. Withholding forgiveness. Relationship runs on forgiveness.
That's big.
I'm pretty sure relationship runs on Dunkin' Donuts. You can't
have America, isn't it?
Well, that would include relationships in America, does it not?
Oh, so America and asterisk American relationships run on Dunkin'.
America's everything. Macro.
Cool.
You can't have a healthy relationship without abundant forgiveness. The best relationships forgive quickly and frequently. Living with another person will always bring conflict and hurt feelings, unnecessary semicolon. The trick is knowing how to handle it. Forgive and ask for forgiveness.
Yeah, I mean, you can't overstate that.
Yeah.
Right. I would agree with that entirely. Any relationship that doesn't understand that is bound to fail.
Yeah, I got to be a pretty hard guy to live with.
Yeah, I don't know who would want to be with me. And, forgiveness has got to be there.
Or a bit. Or blindness. Some levels of ignorance.
I mean,
some of
that. Yeah. I would say it's a brew of the three. Like, it's a good mix or a soup of the three. It's a jambalaya because the forgiveness is the andouille.
Actually, that's exactly what I've been praying for. Lord, send Buva a blind woman who was unaware of his fallibilities.
Send Buva a gal who cannot who does not have to look at him.
Yeah, hide his. Well, no, not physically. It was hide your frailties.
Oh, I meant physically and all.
Oh, well, I mean,
like she can just be like ignorant to everything and physically blind.
Seven, you say yes to everything. Healthy couples do not say yes to everything. They have good boundaries with family, friends, and each other. If we've had a long week at work and my husband asked me to rally and go out with friends on Friday, whose fault is it if I get mad at him on the way home because I didn't want to go in the first place? Mine. Healthy couples know their limits, know how to ask for help, and understand that no is a complete sentence.
I would say that's fair to say.
Yeah.
If I get mad at him on the way home because I didn't want to go out... Okay, so she's saying that...
I didn't want to go there anyway. Why'd we even go there, Stephen?
Oh, yeah, right. Rally? I've never had that conversation.
You know I don't like your biker friends.
It's time to rally, babe. We're going out with friends. I don't have any friends.
We're storming the castle. Let's do this.
I know you've had a rough week, but rally. No, I just can't say it. Hey, I went to this baseball game
like a little league.
Sounds like a terrible decision.
No, no, no. So we're there to support. We were there to support a friend, you heartless boob. Anyway,
terrible decision.
So we go to this.
Your
team,
relationships are fake.
And this team is getting, I mean, beat up. It's like 15-1 or something. And these poor optimistic kids. I mean, like every inning, they were going down pretty quickly. These guys that were had the one, and like if there was one out, they were cheering like one out rally, boom, 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 boom. I mean, over and over again. And then not 40 seconds later, someone gets out, and then it's two out rally, and it just sounded more and more pathetic every time it show up, right? Because like the evidence of them not actually having a rally continued to show itself, and their optimism was certainly not well placed. They were just getting stamped upon. They eventually called the game because they were getting whooped on so poorly.
Oh.
But I thought maybe the coach should say, "Hey, fellas, I mean, you're really exposing yourself as being pretty ignorant of the situation around you. You're not at a two-out rally and haven't been for the last three innings."
I don't know. It's kind of in athletics, you just always have to believe you can win. Every once in a while, the impossible happens. Not very often, but I mean, I played football in high school, and like never. I went to Hoover High School. Never in the history of our school had we ever beat Dowling ever. And every year, I thought, "This is it.
What's gonna happen?
This is the year." You know, they're ranked number one in the state. And we're like, 0-7. We're like, "This is it. This is the one." You know, we're gonna do this.
Wait, did it ever happen?
It never happened. I think it still hasn't. To be honest, I mean, honestly. This is what it is.
I was in high school a few years ago. I'm pretty certain it still has.
Still not.
Yeah, I don't remember.
Okay.
We were actually better back then than we are now. But I say we. But well, I guess it was we then. That's been a few years. Maybe
that's
decades.
Hoover alumni.
They know their limits, know how to ask for help, and understand that no is a complete sentence.
No,
that seems a little uncalled for.
Yeah, that was just like a quippy way to end that. That's all
that
was.
We don't have anything to tweet in this article.
You can at least say no. Yeah. I don't think so.
Yeah. You can quote no as a complete sentence. And people will dig on that.
Yeah, if you're a jerk, like
no.
I mean, hey, you wanna no? We're in a rally. No.
Yeah, that's right. Thinking about rallying tonight. No.
Two out rally. No.
Number eight. Throw in the towel. Healthy couples don't throw in the towel. They don't give up when things are hard, even when things are really hard. If your spouse is important to you, hey, what's that? What's the reference to that phrase?
What? Throwing the towel?
Yeah, yeah.
The
so
boxing thing.
That means you're done for. Like if you're in your corner and you chuck your towel in.
Your ring manager will throw in the towel.
Oh, I thought it might be a lifeguard thing.
What?
No, that's like when they died.
Yeah, that would
not really.
They
I just
threw
made
in the towel.
Pretty
like that was when they gave up on being able to save somebody.
Let like, them go.
I don't
want to get wet.
I don't have the life-saving ring anymore. I had to use that on somebody else.
I don't like the sand in my toes.
Go ahead. Just throw in the towel. Hey, will this help you at all?
That's boxing.
I certainly hope so.
It's extremely morbid, boo.
You can take one of two answers. You can take the boxing one, obvious answer, or the awesome one, which is a lifeguard throwing in the towel.
I hadn't considered that. Says quitting is never an option for healthy couples.
Hey, if you're not married, maybe it is an option.
Yeah, this
like I think it's perfectly understandable. If you're not married, quitting may be.
Yeah,
there's times it's bad. We've had
because
advice
then it's just like, hey, my boyfriend of 4 years that we've been living together since like year one, he's now cheating on me with 15 other people, and he also calls me stupid. That may be the time to walk away
on Facebook
and throw in the proverbial lifeguard towel.
Yes, do it.
Yeah, no, I would agree with that.
All right, cool beans.
Okay. All right, well, that's it. Those are the eight things healthy couples don't do.
I don't think we disagreed with any of
that. That wasn't that stupid.
No, but I guess maybe my reaction was, it's more of like a duh.
Too simplistic. Yeah.
I suppose that's fair.
Hey, hold on. Hey, I'm a married, happily married. By the way, I post negatively about my wife on social media. I value my career over her. I look at my phone all the time while we're together. I refuse to talk about anything difficult because we're that close. I punish her often. I refuse to forgive.
Hey, man.
I'm a people pleaser, but not really, because I say no all the time, and that's a complete sentence.
No is a complete sentence.
And I'm prone to giving up. It seemed like reasonable problems.
These are the people that keep counselors in business, though.
Right. If this is one dude that's doing all eight of these, like, I hate to give the generic answer, but dude, you need Jesus.
Here's the deal. That
like
problem. Do these come in spades, though? Like, is it most likely that if you're running into a completely unhealthy relationship, you got like five of eight, whereas a healthy relationship probably struggles at some point with like a couple?
I think it's fair to say they struggle with one or two, but like five out of eight is bad if that's a normal bad relationship.
No, I know, but I'm just saying, like to Dan's point, if it's keeping people in business, I mean, some of these are like, hey, you're really fighting the good fight here. Just a couple things to work on. And some are, hey, man, it's going to take you like a year and $60,000, and we might be able to straighten this out.
Right. You guys need to live in different countries for a couple of years and then come back.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
But some of those are different levels. Like the forgiveness thing is way bigger than, hey, I overscheduled and I forgot to say no.
Yeah, no, yeah, that's true. That's true.
But no is a complete sentence.
Did you guys hear, like, there's a talk show on called The Preachers? Are you familiar with this?
I think I saw a preview or something.
There's a talk show called The Preachers?
Yeah, it's like The View for dudes, but they're preachers. You seen this one, Nick?
Isn't that us?
No, sir.
No, okay, that's not happening.
Oh, man.
Well, okay, all right, so it's a bunch of dudes on there.
Sounds like a bad idea.
And the subject of open marriage comes up with one of the guests that's on the show. Essentially, they allow each other to sleep with other people, right? That's an open marriage. Yeah. In response, there's a guy named, one of the pastors who was divorced said, I think that's amazing. Adding, a lot of people think that is novel, and y'all church people are going to have a heart attack. I believed in open marriage. I just forgot to tell my ex-wife about it. Yikes!
Hey,
yikes!
Really awful quippies when calling yourself a preacher.
He followed it with a question.
No, it was a sentence, right?
Yeah, right. He followed it up with a question to the person that was talking about it and says, how do they find that balance biblically? I'm sure.
I feel like this is one of the situations where no is a complete sentence, because you can just walk up to that guy right up to saying that and just go, no.
No. No, walk sir. Away. No. It says the clip and the conversation end up drawing criticism online. You don't say.
Whoa. How crazy is that?
Who saw Bryant's response as sending an unclear message about open marriage?
Yeah.
In response, he addressed all of his haters, saying that he made a joke about open marriages, addressing his own mother, who he said also questioned his statement, said, please know that I still believe that marriage is between two people. While I believe in that, I'm grateful to have the opportunity to have conversations with people who don't share my beliefs, don't share my faith, don't share my theology.
Do you think he chose his words there? He says, two people.
Right, yeah, exactly. That's what I was thinking, too. I'm like, oh, that was a good way to say that, because you don't want to get yourself in more trouble.
Yeah.
Hey, man, like, I get making jokes and stuff like that, but, like, when you've got that title, especially on that big of a platform, like, you've got to realize you're being held to a certainly high standard.
Yeah. Yeah,
biblically, teachers are held to higher standards, pastors, higher standards. This guy is a pastor or a preacher on national television or whatever it's on, with thousands, possibly millions of people that have access to his information and his statements that can be tweeted. As in, like, you can take two things from what he says, and that's it. That guy was just being irresponsible.
Yeah. Yeah, that's, yeah. You got to be careful with that kind of thing, right? Like, I mean, like, I've said things here that, at the time, as soon as it came out of my mouth, I'm like, nope, shouldn't have said that. That's awful. And, like, well, I'll generally say that, right?
Right.
Like, it doesn't require...
Or we'll all say it for you and go,
Or someone will correct that and say, no, that's that's not funny, and B, that's not correct. And, like, I don't know how you can sit in a group full of dudes, pastor and stuff, and no one, like, off the bat says, hey, I know this is kind of awkward now that we have someone who's in an open marriage and kind of you said what you said, but... No. I'm sorry, it's not working out.
What you just said was inappropriate and should never be said again.
No. All right. Anyway, I didn't even realize there was a group of dudes.
Sounds like we don't need to watch that show.
No, I would say not. I don't even know what it's on.
Is it like a radio podcast or is it like a TV show?
No,
or what is it?
It's a TV show. I don't know what it's on.
Cable channel, I suppose.
Yeah, yeah.
I love how that nice balance. The male view is the preachers.
It's kind of weird looking.
Okay, fair enough.
Okay. Wow, there was something else. What is it with that? We were talking about Perry Noble a few weeks ago. He checked in treatment for alcohol addiction. Finally got himself into something. That's good news.
All right, good for him. Well.
Hey, man.
Are you scrolling through articles right now?
Yeah, because
I... Like, is that what's happening?
I picked a couple out, and now I can't remember which ones that I thought were interesting. has anybody listened to anything from Mark Driscoll since he's been back?
Not anything new, no.
No? Dan?
No, there's a big marriage one going around that I haven't listened to, though.
I haven't either. And, like, I was kind of interested
in
it.
A new marriage one?
But I didn't... Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
It probably won't be the same as the men marriage thing.
That one was fiery.
She's taking more of a grandfatherly role in posturing his new church. I don't know.
You guys ever watched that original Men in Marriage one?
Uh-huh.
Oh.
Yeah.
That stuff, like, destroyed me.
Here's the thing. I was thinking, he takes a lot of heat from that, especially after he kind of blew up his own church. There was a running joke on him because he, having allowed his church to implode largely by his own action, he was leading like a leadership conference. It's like within the last few weeks.
The worst.
Like, I don't know. The optics on that are just bad. Like, right? I feel like he should know better. But it's weird because that minute marriage thing, as I listened to it a few years out, I needed that at that time in that way.
Yeah.
I needed someone who cared about biblical marriage, who held guys to task for what their actual response. Like, I need to hear it as responsibilities.
Yep.
That's how I needed to hear it. Would I say that same thing, or would I echo some of those similar sentiments to where I'm at in my marriage today? No, it probably isn't as helpful, I don't think.
Right.
I was thinking back through it, like, some people have had some criticism for him, and I thought, it just really depends who you're talking to and where they're at. That was a powerful thing. In fact, there's a lot of his teaching that was very powerful to me at the time, and it was really because he always had like a good, there was a sense of, this is going to sound wrong because it's going to have a false comparison to Jesus, but like, there was a sense of authority to it, right? Like, it held some weight. You trusted it. He was preaching, straight through books of the Bible, right? So yep. I was digging into scripture. He also would use it for whatever tangent he wanted to go on that week, because right. The man had to talk for like 45 minutes to an hour. It also talked about relevant things. Matt Chandler's a lot like that too. Like we're not going to shy away from, hey, there's something significant going on, and hey, is it all right to do assisted suicide? And like, it shows up and you're talking about it as part of kind of your study of the Bible. And so those things were powerful to me at the time. And listen back to some of that stuff. It doesn't have the same impact on me that it did then. And I don't know necessarily what's changed, but it's just interesting how, maybe there's seasons for that, right? Like there's just seasons where you need to hear something in a certain way and then things change.
Did you just drop a season?
I did.
Oh, man.
Anyway, I said that it was interesting about him. And now, like, I saw that like, there's a clip going around about marriage from him and leadership stuff. And I thought, maybe if I get around to it.
I was going to say the same thing. I used to eat that stuff up, too. It's like, I just love listening because it's different. It's a different flavor. You're not used to that. And it's like, oh, yeah, it's all great, great, great. Then it's like, okay, yeah. No matter who it is, you get used to them.
Yeah.
And
I think where that stuff fails is if you try to convert what someone else is doing, is if God has tasked you to clone a dude somewhere and do the same, right? Like, he's, there's a reason. There's just different guys that do things different ways. And it's interesting to listen to some of those guys and be able to take something. It ends up in kind of enhancing either from a pastoral perspective or even just from a guy following Jesus perspective, right? Like, you get to, it enhances what you do, but not by becoming what they do, right? It's just, like, it kind of feeds in and creates nuance and some depth into the stuff that you're doing. So, like, even a lot of the guys where they're like, I'm not beyond that. That guy's still a very good Bible teacher. Like, you can disagree with some of the things that he's done, and I do. I think he handled his situation poorly. But what the heck do I know? I'm states away. I don't know. But generally speaking, I grew more in love with God's Word listening to that man teach. And there just isn't any reason to denigrate that. That is what happened.
Right.
From having listened to some of that stuff. And that's been true for a lot of different guys. But anyway, it's just interesting. I didn't know if anybody had checked anything out since he'd launched the church in Arizona or not.
I may have to look that up.
That's one of the reasons I like to have multiple speakers, where I preach.
Yeah.
With multiple personalities and multiple styles, is because I don't care who you are, you're going to get bored, boring, If people hear you all the time, it's like, okay, at some point they're like, yeah, okay, got it.
Second
verse, same as the first, right? I got it, right. So, it's just good to have a mixture like that.
Yeah.
So I read something today, which was interesting. It was just a little quote, that stuck with me. I'm actually studying this week, looking the topic of passion, lust, next week, right? So I'm digging around on the triplexchurch.com website, and I usually jump on there about the time I'm talking about lust, right? It's like, I forget it exists. I'm like, hey, I had to go over there and see what's going on. And there was just some, this quote. I wish I don't know who, it was just in a blog, so I don't even know who said it. But it was fascinating. It's just been kind of on my mind. It was talking about, you know, looking at a woman, and it said, like, if you look once, you're human. You look twice, you're a man. You look three times, you just disrespected your wife. That just kind of stuck with me.
Do you agree with that quote?
Yeah, I think I do.
I think you're like the second time is you're starting on the perv.
Well, it depends on how, I guess, how
I was
gonna
say,
where
yeah,
your mind's going.
I think the second is is where you're getting into perv territory.
This is Triple X Church. Don't diss them.
Hey, man, I'm not dissing Triple X Church. I'm just saying, like, so you look once, yeah, that's you looking around the world. If you intentionally look again, it's not like you get to blame that on a gender.
So, yeah, I mean, the premise of it sniffs right. Like, first of all,
right.
Like, don't beat yourself up for, like, if you're going to encounter a lady, half of her body is going to be prone to you looking at it.
Right.
Unless you're creepy and stare up all the time.
Yeah, and that weirds people out. So, like,
trust me.
Yeah, so don't... Don't have to bury yourself in your humanity. God put some of that in you to know that those things exist. But I suppose it's the point at which you then start kind of leering. I think it could even be one, though. Like, if you're passing someone and you didn't catch the backside, and so you... That's look one on back on
back
door.
Here's the deal, gents. Jesus knows if you use that side view mirror.
Well, I believe
just because you don't turn your head doesn't mean God doesn't go, hey, I saw that glance into the mirror, bro.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah,
this was like the context
the
of a jogger or something that was going by, and they got really skippy, tight clothes on. And you're like, hey, oh, hey. If the next hey is like, okay, now you're like really checking it out, as opposed to this person. Hey, that's an attractive person.
Right.
Hey, that's what I find attractive about that. You know, then now you're starting to compare and maybe go places you shouldn't be. And that, their whole point was, you know, hey, God created beautiful people. They're everywhere. They're all around us. So don't be, you know, ashamed of yourself that you saw someone, but discipline yourself to not, you know, start creeping on them.
Yeah, I just think, like, after the second time, like, if you're married or whatnot, then basically, like, you got to pray for things like that. You know, so you don't get caught up in something that...
That was actually one of the suggestions in the blog is to stop doing that, is start praying for him.
Yeah.
I thought, that's kind of like, you know, hey, that's someone's daughter, that's someone's wife, potentially, you know, and, you know, they said, you know, then just thank God. Thank God.
Hey,
that's a beautiful woman. Isn't that great?
Yeah.
I will tell you, though, that is a recipe to, in a good way, wreck yourself. Like... Seriously, like when you're driving or when you're walking around or when you're being, you know, whatever, on the internet, even on Facebook or social media, and you start to look at gals that way, if you're a dude, and you see gals, like if you have to take a step back and realize that is a daughter of King Jesus, it's just like, oh man, like that's a weird deal. Like it's like I said, it's a recipe for you to just go, oh crap. Like that is a daughter of my king. Like that is a daughter of my father. Like that's one of my sisters, possibly.
It gets really creepy when you get old enough to say that could be my daughter.
Right.
Well, that's even
like,
worse.
Oh yeah.
That's much worse.
Yeah, yeah. Not that
man,
I, you know, could be that old.
But, that ruined me even worse.
Yeah, it does. Then you just remind yourself.
Yeah.
No.
No.
It's a complete sentence.
Complete sentence. That's
no.
What it is.
Yep. Explanation point.
So we were talking at the start of the show, the most ignored commandment, and I don't know that Father would throw it. I don't know. That seems Bible.
I think we take a break. Let's do something.
It's one of the Bible's most well-known commandments, so why aren't we following it? So the recent poll of 2,000 pastors in North Carolina revealed that less than 10% are keeping a regular Sabbath. Less than 10%. Think about that for a moment. If 90% of pastors announce from the pulpit that murder or stealing or adultery is okay, don't you think it might raise a few eyebrows in the pews, let alone the press? It's true. Jesus freed us from temple and ritual laws, but nowhere does he say we get a pass on moral laws. Of all the moral laws, Christ is especially clear that we must honor the top 10. Capitals. In fact, I'm not sure on that. In fact,
yeah, I was going to say.
Yeah, I'm not convinced that's the right way to look at that, but by God. In fact, he ups the ante. That's a second full colon. If the law says don't commit murder, it's just unnecessary, Zol. Jesus says don't get mad at the person who just sent you a snarky text. If the law says don't commit adultery, Jesus says don't even surf the internet looking for racy pictures. That's not the lowest I would go on don't even.
The Ten Commandments are engraved twice in the walls of the Supreme Court building. Why? Even for people who don't believe in God, they serve as the bedrock of morality. Except for everyone trying to take them out of the courts.
Did you even read this article?
No, it was the subject matter seemed interesting to me. I'm just saying, do some research.
Oh man, vet it out a bit.
For those of us who believe in the Creator, the Ten Commandments are gifts from the very hand of God. I believe, okay, I agree with that. First three commandments are about our relationship with the Lord. The fourth commandment is a bridge. Another full colon. It connects heaven and earth, God and people. The last six are about our relationship with humanity. Once a week, God walks out on the Sabbath bridge to meet us. Sorry. But most of us are no-shows, semicolon. We unapologetically stand up the creator of the universe week after week. Why aren't we taking a Sabbath? It's God's bridge to meet us.
Now that I know there's a bridge involved.
It's the Sabbath bridge to where God meets us.
Where did
that come from?
I feel like this is an important article and thing to discuss, but they're really jacking with me.
Is this going to be a terrible question? Is it a female who wrote this?
Yes.
Okay.
Oh, man, Dan.
It just smells of...
Okay.
Beauty and perfume.
Nancy Sleeth is the author of Almost Amish, One Woman's Quest for a Slower, Simpler, More Sustainable Life. And she says we should Sabbath.
Is this the gal that went Amish for the year? Is that her? I know we've talked about...
No, that was the year of biblical womanhood. Person.
Oh, that's right. Yep.
Rachel Hill Evans. So it says, our generation is the first in 2,000 years of church history that is on the go 24/7. That doesn't seem right.
That's not true.
But this experiment in Sabbathless living is taking a huge toll. It's called time debt. We overcommit. We multitask. We stay so busy we don't have enough time for relationship with family and friends, true, let alone God. So that's true, but I'm pretty sure the Middle Ages probably suffered in similar manner. But they were just happened to be working on things that kept them alive,
right,
as opposed to things that were unnecessarily busy. The result? Nonstop stress. When I asked my husband Matthew, I don't care his name, a physician, about the physical consequences of stress, he gave me a mini lesson on the endocrine system. Aren't you great, Matthew? If your body never knows when the next stop day is coming, what the heck is that? This Dan sounds out stress hormones. Now that has happened to me though. And sometimes it's just related to sleep, but like if I feel like I don't have I know there's not a break or a downtime or a free evening coming up within like weeks.
Yeah.
That happened to me 2 years ago, 2.5 years ago or so. And that was actually pretty, that did take a big toll because it felt like there was just, you were never going to recover.
Yeah.
It felt like you were slowly falling into like a crevasse of weight of things that weren't necessarily overly heavy, but because there was no break in it anywhere, it became heavier than it was. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so if you've had a severe allergic reaction, a shot of adrenaline can save your life. A few hours later, however, you feel utterly exhausted, like you've been run over by a truck. So I think that is supposed to be... As he went on to explain that when we are under stress long term, our bodies produce another stress hormone called cortisol. Cortisol, I don't care about all this. Here we go. So if you're ready to start attempting to keep a Sabbath, okay, she's going to give us the solution. I don't know that she actually developed.
I was going to say, I'm interested to see. Okay, yeah, go
so
ahead.
So do it for her. What's the, besides the fact that we're busy, I don't know.
We don't prioritize it.
Why not?
Well, I think that's her question, isn't it?
Ask one. She's just going
to. It's not important to us.
Yeah, but why not?
We don't think we need it. We think we're beyond it.
Why? Why do we think that?
I don't know. Why do we do half the things we do? I don't know.
Yeah, I'm interested to see how she vets out the what to do for the Sabbath thing. Because I'm interested if she's talking about, hey, we need to take a day where we're just hanging out with the family playing Uno, or if we need to take a day where we're legitimately just like focusing nothing on God, or if we just need to take a day off from work and all activities. I'm interested to see what she wants people to do in order to fix this.
Yeah, she's got some solutions here. I guess what I'm interested in is, if this explains you why, like why isn't it a priority? Is it okay that it's not a priority? Because it's not for me. I might lament as I go through a week. I might say, hey, I feel like I should have got the following things done. I don't ever get to the end of the week and go, I should have made sure that I had that, I took some Sabbath rest. Right?
Right. Yeah, but I've never been there.
What I don't understand, though, is that, like, I have a pretty consistent nag on my life of things like, hey, you don't get three looks at that lady, or you need to treat people better, or you need to have coffee with that dude. This one does not come after me.
I've never been, the one time I've been convicted to talk or even think about Sabbath was when I was working two jobs and was working Monday through Friday one and then Saturday and Sunday the next one. And so I legitimately did not have a day off from work.
Yeah.
And so I actually ended up quitting that job for that reason. Well, that was one of the reasons that I talked to people that I trusted and that I knew cared about me from that perspective and wanted to talk about, you know, hey, when's your Sabbath? Like, what are you doing for that? And I didn't have an answer other than I don't have one. And so I really kind of jumped in and thought, that's a problem. That's an issue. Not just from a, hey, I'd like to be lazy one of the days, but it was really like I focus solely on where my money comes from.
Yeah. So maybe that's part of the deal. Is like, I mean, I think maybe we don't prioritize it because we don't understand it. Because that would be my first reaction, too, is like, hey, I need a day where I'm supposed to just be lazy.
Yeah, like, and I don't think that's what the Sabbath is about.
Well, even if it was, right? Like, we're still prioritizing wrong. We're judging it through our current world's value system as opposed to God's value system, right?
That's like, true.
I call it lazy because the external 24/7 go, go, go world says, hey, man, I got to be lazy, not do anything today.
Yeah.
Whereas if it is a biblical priority that says rest is important, mm-hmm. And it's how God describes at times his relationship, you will be in my rest, right? So, like, if there's a value to it, I just disagree with God on the value of it. Like, at the moment, I'm simply disagreeing with him that it is a valuable thing, that it is a necessary thing. I'm getting by just fine without it, thank you, Jesus. I'm trying to do other things for you. Coffee don't drink itself with the other dudes.
But, I mean, maybe God, you know, he needs you to rest up so you can continue to do his work. Like, who knows what happens on that day, you know, like, but I think life do keep us moving and going so you don't even have a time to do it. But, you know, kids and work and everything going on, you know, but I really think it is an important day, but it's just, since nobody really exercises it, I mean, it's really hard to really make it happen, you know? When, like you say, like, you don't want to feel like you a lazy person because, you know, it's things still can be done, but at the same time, like, you are still, even if you try to get some rest and you, like, you got the kids jumping on you and...
Yeah, so, I mean, that's the thing, though, is I think, maybe this is just self-indicting, but, like, I need to switch my value system. Yeah. What was Paul's in Philippians talking about, like, if I'm out to please man, like, I'm doing a terrible job of it. He's doing things that otherwise are out to please God. And so if this is one of the things where God's like, yeah, this pleases me. And I've decided to say, well, I'm doing your stuff. That's why I'm all tied up and can't do this. Like, that's dumb.
Well, we're looking short term, you know, this week and next week and this year and next year, and God's looking more, you know, at a decade at a time and a generation at a time. Knowing if I'm getting in my rhythm of rest, I am sharpening myself so that 30 years now I'm still going, as opposed to 5 years on the road, I'm just out of gas. There's a lot of people, right. They just hit the wall and they just burn out and crash, you know, because they were drinking too much coffee with too many dudes when they should have been sitting at home, you know, reading the newspaper or something,
right.
You know, and just disengaging a little bit. So I think it's more the marathon run than anything. You got to have those breaks.
No, and that's true, and I think that speaks also kind of the same thing. Like, if that's what we're focused on, right? You're focused on your day to day, your micro stuff, and you don't have a macro perspective. That's God's to give, and frankly, from the only guy who can see it correctly, we probably should be taking advice.
Yeah. You can see the beginning and the end.
Yeah, right.
Crap.
All right. So she says, so if you're ready to start attempting to keep a Sabbath, Booba, here are a few ways that you can start.
Sweet.
Full colon. Here's a simple truth. Full colon. Come on. You tell me. I know that I'm neurotic about it, but that seems excessive.
Yeah, two full colons in basically one sentence is a bit ridiculous.
It won't happen unless you schedule it. For most people, Sabbath is celebrated on Sunday. For church leaders, hospital workers, and people who provide emergency services, as well as pizza delivery men, Sabbath might have to be moved to another day of the week. Because our ministry requires frequent travel, I use Google Calendar to schedule our Sabbath. Yeah, I care how you keep your personal calendar. This lets our staff know when we'll be offline, allows them to plan accordingly. All right, so you got to do it intentionally for one. I think that's true, right? Anything you don't do intentionally, you will not do unintentionally, right?
Yeah.
Double negative. Mm-hmm. Sift through. Yeah.
Yes.
Two, prepare joyfully. In today's 24/7 world, Sabbath keeping is countercultural. Semicolon. It doesn't just happen by default. If you long to lay down your heavy burdens, good night. You'll need to be more intentional about your time the other 6 days of the week. On Sabbath Eve, I clean up my email box, finish chores, and run errands with an almost giddy joy. I also plan ahead for holy fun, seeking out new places for a hike or picking out a book to read along with my husband, Matthew, who I love.
Did you just say holy fun?
No, she said that, not me. I didn't even insert that.
That sounded like something you jokingly inserted. No, she legit said holy fun.
Yeah,
that,
she might be in on to something, though. You know, like,
schedule your holy fun involved. Walks with Jesus.
You never know.
Dan, do you schedule your Pokemon Go time?
Here's the thing. Yeah, it's on Thursdays at 7.
Okay, perfect. As long as that's a Google Calendar.
Is that your Sabbath day?
Yeah. Actually, it is.
Well, there you go. Let's see. Mm-hmm. Pick out a book to read aloud with my husband. Guessman, you read aloud to your wife?
Nightly.
Hey, wait, do you read?
All right, sweetheart. What book do you want to hear tonight?
I feel like I'll go back to that relationship thing. Was that in there? Was that on the list? Read aloud to your wife?
It was 9 to 8.
Number 9.
Whew. That's a good one. I feel like my wife
couples
can't tell
don't
me.
Do. Don't read.
Here we go. Figure out what work is for you. Scholars have argued for centuries about how to define rest. Here's a simple definition, ; decide what work is for you and don't do it on your Sabbath. For people engaged in sedentary work during the week, puttering around in the garden on the Sabbath might be restful. For people who do manual labor, holy rest might mean taking a nap. I feel like taking a nap is always holy rest.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. It's mystified. Yeah. Pray and play. Eugene Peterson, one of my theological heroes and author of The Message, once said that there are only two rules for Sabbath. Guess? ; play and pray. Now in his 8th decade of life, Peterson also believes Sabbath keeping is the best thing he ever did for his marriage, his children, and his ministry. My family and I have been keeping the Sabbath for the past dozen years, and all I can say is, amen. Now grown, our kids kept the Sabbath throughout high school, college, medical school, and now residency. The Sabbath gave them something almost none of their peers had, even while attending a Christian college, a day off. No homework, no chores, no shopping, just time with family, friends, and God. Oh, find a Sabbath buddy.
Hold on. T-shirts?
Hey Matthew, what are you doing on Thursdays at 7?
I'm with my Sabbath
I'm interested
buddy.
In having a Sabbath. Would you be interested as well?
Here we go. My husband, Matthew, whom I love and who we spend time reading aloud together, run a nonprofit together. We both have workaholic tendencies. We both love our work. This is a dangerous combination. Yet no matter what deadlines are looming, my hubby and I do not work on the Sabbath. When one of us begins to talk shop, we gently remind each other to give it a rest. No.
Is a full sentence.
A full sentence. Sabbath is best practiced in community, so find a Sabbath buddy. Help each other. I like the shirt, Stan. Did you say shirt? Well, that's a good idea.
Yeah.
Hey, buddy.
I want to put out on Craigslist looking for Sabbath buddy. Are you interested in holy fun?
We go to Adventureland together.
Pray or play.
If I see you in that shirt, I will tell you to go home and take a nap. Here we go. Sabbath is best practicing community. Oh, no, we're going to get another colon in here. So find a Sabbath, buddy. Help each other to create a Sabbath plan. What you'll need to do to get ready, how you'll celebrate, and what you'll avoid on your day of rest. Then check in and encourage each other. That sounds like work. Hey, got to check in with Boov on the Sabbath. Make sure he's holding to the Sabbath.
Hey, man, are you Sabbathing right now?
No rest for the Sabbath, buddy.
I was napping. Thanks for waking me up.
Really, you destroyed my Sabbath. Super Bowl destroyed it.
Yeah.
The Super Bowl.
That's what did it? You think people were Sabbathing clean until the production of the Super Bowl?
It was the downfall of society.
Yeah, NFL did it.
Oh, man. All right. All right. See, here's the... I feel like I should do this, though. Like, this is legitimately the problem for me. I don't know about the Sabbath, buddy.
I'm not going to be your Sabbath buddy.
Well, no, I wasn't going to ask you anyway.
Yes, you were.
No, you weren't.
You were giving me that look. I saw it.
No, I'd already narrowed it. I was trying to.
You were contemplating. Is Boova going to be a good Sabbath?
No,
buddy?
I was going to let you down easy. That's what I was trying to think of.
Hey, I appreciate that.
He wanted to surprise you with a nice shirt first.
Hey, so what are the qualities that you look for in a Sabbath buddy? What do you think, Guessman?
Someone that'll read to me.
Hey, man, you could alternate Sabbaths so the person who's reading to you is the one who's burdened on the situation, and you can just be the one who's being read to, and so the next day it's your turn to read to them since it's no longer your Sabbath.
You know, here's what I think Harris is on to something slightly. Just trying to think of the modern things that ruin the Sabbath. It's probably lazy dudes going back to the Mark Driscoll sermon. So I could see a guy not taking the garbage out Saturday and his wife going, hey, you take that garbage out, and he's like, Sabbath.
Hey, spread it out.
That is not holy fun,
no
sir.
No dishes for me.
This is this is what I do all during the week. Oh. I take the garbage out. I need a rest from it.
Is it
on the kids do it?
Sincere question though. Is it honestly against the Sabbath to take your trash out?
That's a good question.
New Testament Sabbath, yeah. Real Sabbath, no. I mean Old Testament Sabbath. Pharisees, but
yeah. That's what I'm saying. From a Pharisaical perspective, yeah, picking up a piece of trash off the ground, hey man, remember the Sabbath and keep it holy. But like, I don't think there's a legit problem with, hey man, there's some dirty trash on the ground. It's gross.
Jesus,
I wanted to go out.
The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath.
Yeah, right.
And that's where I feel like this whole article is just like, are you really taking into consideration that?
I think you just don't make it a certain day, a certain hours. Oh, it's sundown. I can't do it now. You know, just get in a rhythm.
I can't lift anything. I need to lay here all day. Did anyone prepare food last night? Because I can't today.
Right.
Mm-hmm. We actually had the kids were studying, go like around the world at school and stuff. And so we were making dishes from various parts of the world. And the Israeli dish was like a Saturday night stew with herbs and bitter herbs and chicken and stuff that was. Had to keep, right? Because you would eat that all day Sunday so that people weren't cooking. It was like intentionally done so that you would have it available on Sunday. So I think in general, the two things you're looking for is don't disregard the amount of time, right? Because like I Sabbath for a couple hours or something. Like, I mean, even taking in consideration how Jesus talked about the Sabbath, like that's still a day. It's still referring to like a day.
Right.
And so like... I think you can lowball the impact of the amount of rest you need, time spending, not laboring, if you sneak it in like a checklist item. And probably the nature of the work is less of the point, right? Like, are you, like, most people could be answer the question, hey, you working?
Yeah.
Right? And if you say, yeah, then maybe you should not do that on the Sabbath. But, like, if you saw me taking my garbage out on a Sunday afternoon and my neighbor's like, hey, Ben, what's up? You working? I'd be like, no. No, just taking out the trash. Then I would not define that as work. And so, like,
right.
I think there's a bit of a – it's kind of implicit. I don't know that we have to split those hairs, really. Although, be wary of a wise spouse when you try to pull the old, hey, I'm not taking that trash out. It's the Sabbath. And then she says things like – Jesus is greater than the Sabbath, and he wants you to take that trash out. Because then she has you.
Oh, buddy.
She has you.
She laid the hammer down.
That's what I'm saying.
He is the Lord of the Sabbath.
That's right. One greater than the Sabbath
Hebrews.
Is here. And I think,
shoot.
All right.
That's as she reads Hebrews to you.
Yeah, out loud. Chapter 5. All right. Find a Sabbath, buddy. I don't know about that, Booba. Neither do I. Maybe it's right as an accountability item. I mean, here's the deal. It's still wisdom, right? It is still made for man. And think about this. We pray for God. I pray for your blessings upon me. Please, God, to thank you for your gifts. And he gives you a Sabbath as an instruction. And we're like, I give or take it. No wonder he doesn't give out stuff to people all the time. We can't seem to handle it. We take his gifts and go, we'll use it as we see fit. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
Sabbath is a gift.
I could see having accountability, yes. But a Sabbath buddy just sounds wrong.
I don't think that's different from an accountability.
It
just sounds a little bit more friendly.
Maybe you go fishing together. What would you do? It has to be something you have to have similar interests.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, man, you want to make a puzzle this Saturday? Sabbath, buddy.
We're moving up to 750 pieces.
We need a lot of rest.
Hey,
1,000 pieces.
You know what's ideal? Your significant other.
You know, but if you don't have one of those, creepily ask a dude, hey, do you have a Sabbath buddy?
Yeah. Hey, actually, go out to the sculpture park and look for a guy Pokemon going, wandering around on his lonesome. And then
you download
yourself,
the app, too.
Either he needs a Sabbath buddy or his Sabbath buddy is letting him down. So he goes, so give him the snuggles.
Him the snuggles.
Yeah.
Does not sound like the right way to put that.
Reword. I landed exactly where I wanted to land. You're
going to keep it on give him the snuggles?
Yeah.
All right.
You're listening to Live from the Path. Hey, thanks for hanging out with us so far. I hope you can listen to the Live from the Path on the Sabbath. I feel like that's cool.
I feel like that's understandable. Mm,
as long as you're not producing
Live from the Path on the Sabbath.
And here's the deal. This is not really work for me either.
I was going to say, this is kind of my rest, too. I'm legitimately laying against a wall right now.
Yeah. No, I keep switching the camera when you use your phone, Booba, so that there's video evidence every time you look down and be using it.
Hey, man. I'm legitimately scrolling through the Dear Abbeys right now.
Fair enough. Anyway, that's work. So, 10:55. Hey,
Hey, if you haven't done so, go out and like Light 45 on the Facebook. They were in the show a couple weeks ago.
They were awesome.
Yeah, yeah, they're real good. And they I saw them. They were on TV. They played acoustically for their local television station up in Rochester.
Hey, man, we're a stepping stone for someone else.
That's what I'm saying. Everybody has to step on someone lowbrow to get to the top, and we're
happy to be that lowbrow.
We're the lowbrow. we're the guys you step on and think, I got to get a bigger stool. But you wouldn't know that had you not tried here first.
Right.
So anyway, make sure you go check them out. And also, Tessa Johnson was in here. She played a song called Pentecostal when she was here. And she just came out with her, it's not an album version, but it's like a single version that she got done. And that's out there on the net. Go find her on Facebook and you can pick it up there. Or she's under, what was her Twitter handle? I Am Tessa?
Something was like it? I Am Tessa J?
Something like that.
I think it's I Am Tessa J, and that's also on Spotify too.
Oh yeah, sweet. So yeah, just look up Tessa Johnson, and you're looking for the song Pentecostal, and you can hear that. And you can check that out. There's some weird murmurings at the start of the tune though. I can't pick it out.
But power through.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Power through it, and don't get freaked out about the people talking.
Hey, did you hear that Tim LaHaye died?
Hey, I did see that.
Left Behind, dude?
I didn't realize he was that old. He's like 90.
Yeah, he was what? Like, I had no idea either.
Yeah. Now, the other guy, the Jenkins, he was younger. He's the younger dude. Now, I mean, not young, but he's a little bit younger than that, but yeah.
Younger than 90.
Tim LaHaye. And here's the thing is, like, when I read an article on about him, and, like, it's weird, like, you, he kind of gets in a box, that guy, right? Like, he's the guy that wrote the books. But I mean, the guy was a pastor. He was he produced other books on other pastoral type things.
He wrote a big book, 80s, 70s. I don't know. The Act of Marriage was like, that was like the standard book you would give to young couples who had, never been together and stuff. Someone gave it to us, and I was like, it was really awkward, but really kind of cool to read because I didn't know what to expect. I mean, I knew what I thought to expect. I saw the movies.
It's about getting it on?
I mean, part of it. There's some pretty detailed stuff in it. Like, here's what you might expect. I'm like, I've never done this. I don't know. It's not at all how I imagined it.
That made me physically uncomfortable. Like the two of you having a conversation.
What?
I literally just went,
Hey, if you don't know what you're walking into, I mean, that's a good point.
It is. There's stuff you just assume, and you're like, hey, that's not at all how I thought.
Dan, when I'm ready to make someone, Mrs. Buva, please do not give me that book.
I may have recently purchased that book for someone I know and love.
Oh, man.
Here's what you don't want. You don't want to get into that moment, and all of a sudden, people are going, what is that?
Guys, I don't
the movies
think,
never say this.
Does that book address that?
Yes. There are steps missing here.
I am physically uncomfortable with the situation. Weird dudes.
What? No, I don't know. Seems legitimate. Sometimes you need
that's some... what scares me more. Is how for this you are.
Sometimes you need some care, I guess. I mean, without the advent of the internet, probably straightened out a lot of those questions.
I was just about to say that.
In ways that you wouldn't want them straightened out. So think about if you had a healthy way to do some of that stuff, and assuming that your parents or, I don't know, perv buddy didn't otherwise inform you of some things. Certainly you need, it's not wrong to have some sort of guidance like that.
Yeah.
All right, Buva.
It's a really awkward read.
Is it?
I haven't read it for 32 years or so. But
now I feel like I want to take a look at it and make sure I'm not doing it.
I kind of do at the same point in time, too. Like, if I'm being honest about the duality in my heart right now, like, I kind of want to go,
that's why I brought
it. Deal. But at the same point in time, I'm just like, what am I missing?
You're all going to be ordering it tonight
that's
on Amazon.
What, I'm saying.
What don't I know?
Act of marriage.
The thirst of knowledge. What don't I know right now?
Gessman's got 4 kids already. I got 3, but you think you're like, hey, maybe I'm missing something.
I'm currently childless, so I'm just like, oh, I must be missing something.
Yeah, you're doing all right for now.
Thank you. I've never really been confused on that part. Like, hey, Jesus, is it a bad deal right now that I don't have kids?
I actually didn't know. Okay, I am.
This is gonna be good.
Ladies and gentlemen, currently or possibly listening to Dear Lyle or to Live from the Past.
Flag it for playback. So. The way that they talked about stuff in health class, it was not clear to me that AIDS was not generated during sexual activity, right? That, like, you had to come into sexual contact with someone who actually had AIDS to get AIDS, right? Or to contact anything, right? Anything that was transmitted sexually. Like, the way that they described it, it was such, like, a scare fest
Mm-hmm. That, like, it made it sound like...
Even if you don't have it, if you have sex, it happens.
Yeah, so,
be
like...
Be careful how you do this. Yeah,
the person touch you in it.
Yeah, because, like, I get what they're coming from. They say things like, hey, having sex with random people, you could get herpes. But, like, they didn't... It wasn't clear. They weren't specific that, like,
that
it's
random
because
person
you had sex
have...
with a guy that had herpes.
Yeah.
Right? That's actually the cause of the problem.
The random act is what actually makes it...
Like
possibly
ever read that
actually
yeah.
contracting I mean, a virus.
The I mean, right amount of friction will cause herpes.
Too much hand holding and it happens.
And here's the thing, like a relatively sheltered in this area, okay? So like I'm not saying this is a universal experience, but like
no.
It was like a year or two later where I thought, hey man,
that just doesn't make sense. No,
it doesn't it's not like I'm not advocating for sex with random people. I'm just saying there was a missing element to this story. That, like, you actually, it's because, and it made a lot more sense. I'm like, oh, yes, that makes, it's like catching a cold. I get it.
Yeah.
You come into close contact with someone that's got one. Then you run risks, right? Anyway.
I have to say, out of all the things that I was expecting you to say, that was probably one of the better ones you could have said. So I'm proud of you.
I filtered.
Finally.
I can't give it all away. I'm publishing a book. Now that Lehigh's out of the way, I feel like
there's
in the market. We need a new book for the new generation.
I didn't realize this was such a gap. You didn't even know about it.
See?
I wish I had more commentary, but just...
What to do with your Sabbath buddy?
Have him read you the Act of Marriage. Full disclaimer, do not do that.
I was thinking of something else. Go ahead, Bubba. I'm just saying you find the right Sabbath buddy. Anyway, go about your business.
Oh, jeez.
I find nothing to repent of here. Continue.
All right. We doing Dear Life and Pat?
Yeah, let's go.
All right.
Please ask about virginity.
Dear Life on the Path. My beloved father passed away 3 years ago. One of my older sisters moved in with mom to help take care of her and be her companion. My sister has a boyfriend my father absolutely disliked, and the rest of our family doesn't like him either. My issue, parentheses, and I'm not the only family member who feels this way, is that when her boyfriend is at the house, he sits in dad's chair. It's hard enough not seeing dad there anymore, but seeing the boyfriend sitting there is offensive. Am I wrong for feeling this way? If there is a way, how could I or my family approach the subject with my sister or her boyfriend? Daddy's gone now.
Buy a new chair.
Wait a minute. The sister's boyfriend sits in the chair?
Yeah.
The sister's boyfriend sits in dad's chair.
Oh.
And everyone's offended.
Three years?
Yeah, it's been 3 years since dad passed.
Yeah, I mean, here's the thing is, I get it, right? Like, especially if every time you ever went over there, dad's in his chair.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I get it. It would be different, I guess, and now that I've asked this question, this makes more sense. But I was thinking that the mom had picked up a boyfriend. And he was sitting in the chair.
Oh, yeah.
And that seems to me like, hey, get a new chair and maybe move
right.
it to the other side of the room or something.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I would definitely say that's a
But, like,
deal.
Sister's boyfriend sitting in the chair? I'm like, eh.
And apparently everybody didn't like
nice
sister's boyfriend.
Just suggest him a new chair. Like, maybe get him a new chair. Like, hey, why don't you just sit in this chair? You
but know, how awkward is that going to be? Dude sitting in a chair, you walk up with a separate chair and go, hey, doesn't this one look better?
Yeah, I
and
mean,
then just set it in a different part of the room. Come on over,
and
check out,
and then haul the other chair out of the living room.
Yeah,
come and see.
Hey, you,
Patrick Harris trying to sell it because he's good at it.
Hey, you could totally just put a sign on the chair that says "Do not sit here."
Yeah,
or just put
this
a sign on
Clarence's
on the
chair.
Old chair that says "Sabbath Buddy." He'll sit in the other one.
Yeah, that's right.
You invoke the wrath of
he
father if you sit in his chair.
I mean, there, you gotta. I get it. I get the sentimental attachment. Like, either get rid of the chair if no one can sit in it, or get over it.
Rope it off and hire a bouncer,
or have Harris go come and sit on my
chair. Right. It seems like they're just offended at this specific person sitting in the chair
just
nobody likes
for
it.
Another reason to not like him.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, you know that that Mary's boyfriend? Oh, I can't stand him. Yeah, you know how he sits in dad's chair? Oh, yeah.
He's been drinking Diet Coke in the house, too. Dad always drank Diet Coke.
Oh, he's trying to turn into dad.
There were certain circumstances, like I said, boyfriend of mother, if she started dating someone, then I would
weird.
Say you just got to get rid of the chair.
That's fair.
But short of that, I feel like you're overreacting.
That's
or
fair.
Maybe it's just he just... don't understand that he sit when the whole room's looking at him crazy. Like, what's
yeah.
they looking at?
So, like, I get that, but right, like, what do you tell him then? What? Nobody sits in the chair?
You
yeah, it's just awkward.
Keep a shrine to dad sitting with the best view of the TV? What a waste
like, hey,
of
man,
a view of the TV.
Keep dad's shrine, but put it like somewhere else.
Yeah, but I could kind of understand if no one else sits in the chair, then it's sort of like, I don't know, like a remembrance of them. I mean, since it's so early and you never know what type of relationship they got with
that's
them,
a number of years, though, Harris. Don't you think that like enough time has passed where you can't, you got to take this idol out of the living room?
Yeah.
It happens at certain, it happens for certain times for certain people, though. Like my dad, so my dad's been gone for almost 7 years
right.
now. It took, it probably took a good couple of years for me to start kind of getting rid of stuff.
Yeah.
Like I kept everything because I thought it was awesome. I kept his clothes. Because, like, I'm a big guy. My dad was a big guy. I didn't fit in the clothes, but, like, just in case I ever got that big, I wanted to have them.
Right.
It took me... I probably didn't throw those away until 2 years ago. Mm-hmm. So I was 5 years in, and I threw away my dad's clothes.
It could take a while, but is the mom offended, or is it just...
It sounds like this is the sister of the daughter of the mom. So this is, like, this is just another daughter.
Yeah, I think she just doesn't like the boyfriend.
Yeah, that's what I said. Oh, shit, that was the first beginning of... That was her beginning.
Yeah.
All right, let's see here. Secular says, please accept my sympathy for the loss of your obviously much-loved father. But the boyfriend may be using dad's chair because no one else is using it and is comfortable and available. As I see it, you and your other siblings have two choices. Either speak to the boyfriend and tell him nicely that seeing him occupy your father's special chair is painful for all of you, or replace the chair with one that has less sentimental value.
Yeah, take it with you.
All right. Let's see, what's the next one? Sorry, I've been sitting there on that one trying to figure out. Give me a second here.
No, yeah, no worries. Just take your time.
That's what I'm doing. That's actually exactly what I'm doing.
Anyway.
All right.
Okay, good. I was going to talk with guests about our sex manual, but I...
Hey, thank you. I'm really glad I found this right now. Dear Live from the Path, I'm a grandmother and great-grandmother who is concerned about the behavior of my grandson toward his 7-year-old daughter, Beth, and her 9-year-old cousin, Mandy. When Mandy recently visited me, she told me her uncle crept up behind her and put his hand over her mouth and then held her nose so she couldn't breathe. She said he has done that to Beth, too. Mandy said he held her like that until she felt faint and then let go laughing. Apparently he does this all in fun. But I see nothing funny about it. What would make someone do something like this? Mandy told me Beth is afraid of her dad and doesn't want to be left alone with him. I'm very concerned, but I live several states away and don't know what to do. Not funny.
That's tough because the example, there's people don't have a good filter for, hey, you know what, that's not really funny, actually.
Right.
Like, but then, like, the second part, that those two don't necessarily correlate for me, right? Like, the guy that oversteps his bounds on what he thinks is funny, because there's always people like that, is different than someone who is, I don't want to be alone with him, specifically because I think he might try to hold my nose and laugh. Like, those two things don't necessarily correlate, right? So I think that it's designed to paint a trajectory. I just don't know that we have enough information to be like, yes, that trajectory is true.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I'm a little hesitant there, but I suppose I would, I'd follow up with the mom. Like, did it imply that there's no mom?
It doesn't make it seem like mom's gone. It's just, grandmother and great-grandmother.
Yeah, so I might ask the mom and just
talk to mom, see if they can glean more information on the situation.
Yeah, make sure the kid's not overstating the facts. Make sure there's nothing about the story from mom that might give you a little bit better perspective here.
Yeah.
I mean, if somebody you like to talk to the guy to tell him to knock it off, then it's not funny. But like, it depends what he's actually doing in addition to that as to whether this is a hey man, just I know you think that's funny, but like you're kind of wigging around.
Is this the one instance where the dude just thinks he's funny and we need to stop him?
Yeah.
Or and let him know that he's not being funny, or is it just like the one thing you see versus everything else that's happening?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
That's fair. All right. Anybody else?
Yeah, that seems it's just weird. That's weird.
Yeah, I mean,
yeah, dude's just being creepy.
Yeah.
It's not funny. And like I don't understand, like what about that do you get your jollies on? Like, what is exciting about that? The kid's obviously not enjoying it. It's not funny on its own.
Right.
Like, I don't understand.
Yeah, there's nothing funny about overpowering a child.
So I'm thinking, that like I know a guy who would probably do something like that.
I do too, actually.
Yeah, yeah. All in this room know this guy. And and he just needs someone to say, like, honestly, really, don't do that.
Right,
you know, he probably just doesn't even. He's not even thinking. I could really be hurting someone.
Yeah,
he's so, like, "Huh, this is gonna be great."
And that's what I'm saying. Like, it seems real weird, but yeah, it could happen, right? That someone would do something like that. I don't. Mm-hmm. It doesn't imply fear when you're in the room alone with them at all times. Like that's
Yeah, right. Probably, stress, I'm assuming right? this. I'm projecting innocence on him, but yeah, I'm assuming, right. yeah, it's just like he just doesn't get it. Like, yeah. that's just not cool.
Yeah. yeah. That's what I would say.
All right, let's see what Secular says. Your grandson has a bizarre sense of humor that he would smother anyone, let alone a child, to the point of fainting is sadistic, bullying, abusive behavior. Talk to this child's mother to see how she feels about this. If he would do this to a child, one can only imagine what he may be doing to her. That seems demonizing. She's the person to put a stop to this. If she can't manage that, then any child in the home should be living elsewhere.
Yeah.
Okay.
That might be too much. I just have to talk
yeah.
with...
Yeah.
Have a talk with the mother and then kind of reevaluate circumstances.
Let's see if we can find a light one.
I had a... actually, to talk about something heavy, I was outside the other day, and someone in the neighborhood was... I don't know, the kid wasn't acting the way that they were supposed to. And, like, some of the things that this mom was saying to this kid, I thought, good night. There's no way this kid's not going to be jacked up. Like, it was real. Yeah. It was real threatening, real manipulative. Like, what do you do? What will you do when I hurt myself because of how you act? I'm like, what? Good night. What is wow. that?
Yeah. That's...
And, like, her daughter was there saying, stop talking like that. But, like, she wasn't flinching. So I'm assuming, like, this is something that is said before.
Yeah,
it was just, and I thought, you were gonna jack with someone. Mm-hmm. It's like, first of all, it'll never accomplish what you wanted to accomplish, right? Because like you've right. already, you're not doing that, and like you've basically shown, hey, I have no power to influence you at all, so I'm just gonna say whatever comes to my mouth to try to scare you and right. freak you out. But obviously, like, it's not working. The kid was just completely blowing past it, and like I get, she's probably really frustrated with the kid who's not listening to her. She was asking something pretty basic of this guy, and he's not reacting at all. But I thought, good night. Like I wonder if both of those people, like the boy and the mom, both realize that neither of them, the thing that they actually want, is well within their grasp, and neither of them are going to attain it to the ways in which they're attempting to do yeah. so.
I heard some mom the other day, some store, and she was on like the other side of the aisle, so I didn't see her and her children, and she kept saying, whatever the kids were doing, I'm going to knock you out.
Oh,
and obviously the kid knew she wasn't.
Right.
And she knew she wasn't, but she just kept threatening, and I was like, man, that seems kind of extreme. You know? Mm-hmm. You know, I was just like, I almost went over there like this just to see, like, who is this person? But, yeah, it's kind of hard to... believe people kind of talk the way they do to their kids,
and
yeah.
I think
what's that doing to them?
And what's so weird is that like parents want their words to be powerful, but then they treat them so flippantly,
yeah.
Right. And they try to bully them the words that and they're not backed with much, and so like you actually your words don't mean anything, and they get real frustrated, and that's where they resort to other ways of trying to get kids to do something. But like you totally wasted all your words, your words of encouragement, your words of praise, even your words of discipline. In such a stupid way, and now you're surprised that your words don't mean anything to somebody.
There are... So being a younger guy that's wanting to be a dad soon, within the next couple of years is what I mean by soon, I have, by the words of other people, kind of taken it upon myself to find good fathers to watch, to spend time with, to watch them interacting with their families, and... By doing so, I've started to become more and more sensitive to that kind of stuff. Okay. There's a guy in my life that's he's a dad, and he is his son's best friend. Like they're best friends, and they get along with everything, and they play fight, and they scream at each other, having fun. But when it comes down to you need to do this, and I expect this to be done, it is 5 minutes of disrespectful disobedience. Where the kid just runs around and doesn't do it, and then it turns into threatening. Yeah. And I have to set him down and remind him. I'm just like, how do you expect to command any kind of respect from your child when you're his best friend that's his age in his eyes? You are not dad to him. You are mm-hmm. buddy. If you both get along and do the same things, not from a paternal perspective, but from, hey, we both just kind of like doing this.
We relate to each other
yeah.
as children.
Yeah, we relate to each other as children. That's a problem. And then if you relate to each other as children, father doesn't happen. And so I say that because, like, as a serious warning to people, if you're not a parent yet, I sincerely want you to go out and find good parents. Find parents that are doing it right. Not perfect parents, because you're not going to. find parents that are doing this right. Maybe they have kids that are in their 20s and you get to listen to stories. Maybe they have kids that are very young and they're learning how to do it too, but they're doing it right. Watch them and pay attention to them. Ask them questions. Because when it comes down to it, you know, you're going to screw up parenting, but the preparation that you do today could make it so you screw up a lot less.
Yeah. Agreed. You got one more over there?
Yep. It's a light one. Dear Liar from the Path, I have a granddaughter who is getting married soon. If I give the couple money as a wedding gift, whose name should go on the check? First the bride's or the groom's? Grandpa in Iowa.
What?
Huh.
You know, whichever one, I guess.
I don't know. Why does it matter? Would you, be our
just,
response.
I mean, just don't write a third party's name on there.
Somebody, will the check bounce?
What the heck?
Write the check to yourself. That'd be hysterical.
I mean, maybe there's a right protocol to that, but like...
Yeah, put the dude first and the gal, and the girl will think it's really cool because they're married now and then she has a husband and
would they don't any care. Of they just want the care? Cash. Either
I
way?
Mean, no. I mean, maybe the one that's most responsible with the money.
So determine it based off who's fiscally responsible.
Yeah.
I like your sound, Nick. All right.
Yeah, no, I don't know that I'd put two more thoughts in about it. Like, just start writing, and whoever name comes out first, exactly. I think it's probably just fine.
Better go with cash.
Draw names out of a hat.
Yeah,
out of
that's the true. Chair. Yeah, right, yeah, yeah. Just get hit up an ATM.
Well, then, what name do I put on the letter?
Just drop it into the bucket or something. I threw some cash in the bucket. And then if someone else put cash in there, they won't know how much came from you, and maybe you'll get the benefit of having put in 200.
Did Grandpa Joe give us anything? No, he just dropped cash.
No, he just put cash in the thing.
He was too worried. To
I kind of like that. No, did you give us a card? No, sure didn't. There's money in there.
I gave you what you really wanted.
You see that giant present table? There's cash somewhere on it, and it was for me.
Yeah.
Perfect. All right. Secular says, if your granddaughter and her fiancé intend to have separate checking accounts, put her name on the check.
Oh.
However, if they will be opening a joint account after the wedding, it would make sense to put both their names on it. And the order in which you list the names is whichever you prefer.
Does anybody do separate bank accounts?
No.
No, I don't.
I know couples that do, and I just laugh at them for their distrust.
We've done it before, but it wasn't mistrust. It was just, we just did it for a while.
Well, the people that I know, it's my reason. I'm not saying that's the only reason to do it, but that's what it is.
Why did you do it before, Dan?
My wife was like saying, I never have any money. And I said, well, here, you take care of these bills. You do whatever you want. And for some reason, we had two accounts anyway. And here, you take this account. I'll take this one. We did it for a few years. And we're like, you know, we just threw it all together. And it was just,
Did it help you work better under a budget, like personally? Like, there's not, I don't know, did you have, like, an allotment that said once you pay these bills, then the rest of the money there, you can do what you want with?
Yeah, it was like, here's how much you make, and here's what these bills are, so it gives you X amount, whatever, usually.
Yeah.
So if you work any extra, it's your play money, it doesn't matter. If you work less, whatever. As long as those are paid, I don't care, and I'll pay for these with mine. And
my grandparents worked under that premise, although, like, it was a, basically, Grandma was responsible for all the bills and stuff, went into a joint account that they both had access to, and then Grandpa, she just gave him, like, $50, and then he didn't have to think about it. He knew that he had money, he could go to the Harbor Freight and buy 8,000 tools with $50 or whatever it is at the Harbor Freight. And so, it was just a way for him to keep a budget. Either there's money in there or there's not.
Yeah. Right.
There's probably ways to do it, but, like, I would agree most of the people that I know that have separate bank accounts like that are doing it in a weird way that doesn't...
Yeah. This is... We're married, but this is my money.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So don't spend it.
All right. Well, all right. So we say, Grandpa, write whatever you want. You have to... How would you even know that, though? What was her advice? If they're going to have separate checking accounts, were you going to ask?
Right, I was wondering.
How are you planning to manage your finances once you're married?
Yeah.
It matters to me as I write the check.
Hey, happy couple, what's the plan for financial future?
You think this thing's going to last? Because I don't want to put his name on it.
All right. You've been listening to Life from the Path. Thanks for hanging out with us. You can go to the website, lifefromthepath.org. Past clips from the show, sign up for the podcast, and over the next few weeks you'll see we'll probably expand some of the content in there, just sharing some more of the stuff that we care about. Maybe it's articles, videos, some of the music, that kind of stuff. Some of the artists on the show that we've had in here produce really good music, and when we have the acoustic recordings out from the show, We might start sharing just some of the stuff they got going on the website so you can explore some of that more. So anyway, just keep an eye out where we'll be expanding a little bit on the website over the next few weeks. And if you need help for something that's going on, shoot us an email, info@lifefromthepath.org with Dear Life from the Path. We're glad to attempt to subtly mock you and then see if we do our very best to help you out.
We'll try our best not to mock you.
In the interim, thanks for listening, and please be faithful to means. God will handle the ends. You've been listening to Life from the Path.